Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message today, I want to give you a brief update what is going on here in Kenya. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. We're 3 weeks away from our national elections. The presidential race is highly contested, you might say. Two veterans of the political warfare of the last 20 or 30 years are involved, Vice President Ruto on one side, and the opposition candidate is Raila Odinga, and so we have a hotly contested race coming up, and there's been a lot of war of words, as you can imagine, similar to an election in the USA. And so we're praying just for a peaceful outcome. That's the main prayer on my heart, a peaceful outcome, and that the Lord would raise up the man that he wants to see lead Kenya for the next 5 years. So keep that in your prayer requests, that there not be any violence. There has been some very violent elections in Kenya in the past, and so we just pray that this election would go down without any major violence, and people would accept and move on with whatever candidate the Lord raises up. Well, we also have 30 children in schools, and so we ask for your support to keep those children in schools. All the children here in Kenya pay school fees, and so there is a big burden on the ministry to get all these children in school. Some of them are in secondary school, and the fees for secondary students here cost anywhere $500 to $800 per year. And so it's a big challenge, not just for ministries, but it's a big challenge for the people of Kenya, especially if they have very many children in their family, to raise the fees for all the children to get them into school. So we pray that the fees will come. We don't have all the fees paid for this term. Children started on Tuesday of this week, and so pray about that. Maybe you can help us there in regard to getting the children back in school. Well, today we're going to be talking about baptism, water baptism specifically, and this is a big subject in the kingdom. Many different denominations have different approaches to baptism, and there's been a denominational influence on the Word of God, you might say. So we have to go back to the Word of God and see what it says about baptism and see what Jesus himself practiced when he was on the earth. And we'll get an idea then of what God wants in baptism, what it represents, what it means to us, what it means to God. And all of these things then help us to glean what is the truth about baptism. Maybe you, at some point in time you were sprinkled with water, or maybe there was some ritual practiced with you or over you, and we want to do what the Bible says, what the kingdom of God teaches and preaches in regards to baptism, and do it as accurately and with as much passion and truth as is possible. Well, in Romans 10:10, we get an idea of who should be baptized. It says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in verse 13, Paul says, for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so salvation starts in the heart. Salvation comes when you are convicted of your sin and you realize that you're a sinner. You stand before God, recognizing the fact that you're no longer unconscious or ignorant of your sin, that you are conscious of your sin and you need to get into a place of right standing with God. You need to come back into a righteousness of God, and you recognize that you're a sin. Maybe you're a good person. Praise God. I hope you are. Maybe you don't lie, cheat, or steal on a major scale, or do any big law-breaking events, actions in your life. But the Bible says that we're all sinners, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And so we all have come up short of God's glory. We are as filthy rags when we stand before the Lord, and someday you will realize that. that you are and I am as filthy rags when we come before the Lord, and we all have some sin in our life, if not sins of commission, we have sins of omission. We don't do things that we know we should do for the Lord. And so when Peter was preaching and teaching in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, many people had gathered there for Pentecost. And when Peter got up to speak in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, he spoke first a prophecy from the book of Joel in the Old Testament, and the prophecy said, "When my spirit is poured out on all mankind, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions." And I'm not going to go into all that prophecy today, but that prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, approximately 2,000 years ago. And it was fulfilled just as the prophet Joel had spoke it hundreds and hundreds of years, about 800 years before the Lord walked on the earth. And so Peter spoke that prophecy on the day of Pentecost, and then he preached a powerful message about salvation, about the crucifixion of our Lord and our Savior. And then in Acts 2:37, it says that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. There were thousands of people out there listening. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" In other words, what shall we do to be saved from this condition that we are in? And Acts 2:38, "And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Just as Peter had spoken about the prophecy of Joel, he said the Holy Spirit will be poured out on this day. And so Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And so, beloved, if you're listening to me today, we are far off. We're 2,000 years down the line from that day of Pentecost, and we're also far off in terms of physical proximity to Jerusalem. But the Word of God is forever. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God's kingdom is forever, and it goes to the four corners of the earth, even to the remotest part of the earth. And so this promise is for you. If you're listening to me today here in Kansas, or if you will listen on the internet to any place in the earth, on the earth, this promise is for you and for your children. And so you can embrace this promise and know that it is truth for your life. You can embrace this promise and know that if you repent and you are baptized and you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your sins will be forgiven, that your sins will be washed away, not by the water, but by the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross, and you will then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of God abiding in you. The Holy Spirit of God then abides in you. It walks with you, talks with you. You can come to know the counsel and the comfort and the advocacy of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so this is a powerful teaching here in Acts 2:37, 2:38. I suggest you look it up, read it, and commit it to memory. And so if you'll do that, then you can know for sure that your sins have been washed away. Well, what does baptism represent? Baptism represents the cleansing of our conscience by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 19, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, said, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, what is Paul saying here? He's saying that our conscience, which carries the burden of our sin, if we have a lot of sin in our life, our conscience is weighed down, our countenance is dark, our countenance is heavy, our mood is dark, our mood is heavy. And so if we have an evil conscience, as Paul said, then our hearts can be sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, our hearts can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and our bodies washed with pure water. And so this is the reason Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to cleanse us of our sins with his own precious blood. When Jesus came to the earth, he said, "I came to destroy the works of the devil. I came to save you from your sins." Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve." And so he came to save us from our sins. He was here 33 and a half years approximately, and he had a purpose for coming. His purpose was to set mankind free from their sin, set them free from their brokenheartedness, from their brokenness, from their captivity. And when he went to the cross and shed his precious blood for us, then our sins can be washed away, not by the water. The water just represents the washing away of our sin by the blood of Jesus. And so we know that our sins are forgiven. The baptism is a representation of our sins being forgiven, and also our sins being washed away by the blood of Jesus, just as the water washes over us. Well, I'm going to turn here to Romans chapter 6 and spend the rest of the time, the bulk of it, in this chapter. And this is the greatest teaching, I think, in the whole Bible regarding baptism, regarding water baptism. And Paul is talking to the church in Rome, and he is saying here in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Verse 2, "Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it?" And so when you come to the Lord and you are convicted of your sin, you realize you're a sinner and that your sin is standing between you and a right standing with God, that sin is a barrier and your iniquity prevents you from getting close to God, then you say, "I cannot go back into sin any longer. If I confess my sin and I receive the grace of God," which is a superabundant pouring out of God's grace on you at the time of your conversion, God's grace is sufficient to wash away all your sins, going back to when you were 6, 7, 8 years old, when you first started to understand that you're a sinner, that you lied, that you cheat, that you steal. The abundance of grace then washes all that sin away. And Paul says, then how can we who died to sin go back into it? He says, we don't assume that the Lord's grace is going to continue to be poured out in that abundant way. In other words, after you are converted, after you say yes to Jesus and you're baptized, don't take the Lord's grace for granted and continue in your sinful lifestyle. You don't have to be cleaned up and perfect and blameless to come to the Lord. The Lord will clean you up. He will convict you of your sin. The Holy Spirit will convict you, and you will never, ever again sin with the same abandon that you did before you came to know the Lord. And so you are washed clean of your sin. You receive that abundant grace of God. You receive that mercy because you're not held accountable and not destroyed when you should be, when we should be. We are given abundant grace. And so at that point in time, your conscience is washed clean. You no longer carry the guilt and shame of your sinful life, of your activity. But God is saying through Paul here, he says that we cannot continue to sin where grace is abounding. We can't continue to sin, assuming that grace will cover an abundance of sin. And verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And so when you go down in that water, I'm speaking of immersion baptism here, when you go down into that water, you are baptized into the death of Christ Jesus. In other words, your life will be just like Christ Jesus' life. He died for us. He was put in the tomb, and Jesus' death then is represented by your going down into the water and having the blood of Jesus, the water represents the blood of Jesus, wash over you. And so as you are immersed, you're fully covered by the water. You are fully covered. Nothing is left out of the water. And as you are immersed, then that represents the immersion of your sin and the covering of your sin by the blood of Jesus. And so you're put down in the water, you come back up out of the water, and so it represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the coming back up. Just as Jesus went into the tomb, he died, he went into the tomb. When he came out of the tomb, he was resurrected after 3 days, 3 nights in a tomb. He walked as a new creation. He had defeated the devil. In Ephesians 4, 8 to 11, you can read about that. He went down to Sheol and preached to the spirits that were held captive in Sheol, and then he released the Old Testament saints. He took captivity captive, and he took them with him, and he went and took them to heaven after their redemption was accomplished. He took them to heaven, and then he sat down beside the Lord, the right hand of the Lord God Almighty. And so in verse 4, back to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, a great scripture to commit to memory, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. And so when you come up out of that water, you are a new creation. You are a new creation walking in Christ Jesus. Your sins, your old lifestyle, your old sinful life is buried and your sins are washed away. You come up, you're a new creation. And so you start to think with the mind of Christ. You start to think with the counsel and instruction of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, that is where you need to be if you have not been baptized, if you've not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to be baptized and you need to get right with the Lord and you need to start then in your Christian walk. And beloved, you will be in a new walk, newness of life. The scripture says, newness, you shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so you can look at your baptism as your resurrection day. Just as Jesus came out of the grave, death couldn't hold him. Beloved, death cannot hold you when you come out of that baptismal water, that watery grave, some people call it, the watery grave of baptism. When you come up out of there, you are ready to walk in newness of life. The death of your sinful lifestyle cannot hold you down, and you not only will walk in newness of life on this earth, but for all eternity, heaven will be your home, heaven will be your abode, and you can then know the compassion, the love, the plan, the destiny that God has for you, and you can walk into that destiny. It starts with your conversion. It starts with your baptism. It starts with confessing Jesus, and then you walk in newness of life, and you shall then be a resurrected, born-again child of the living God. Verse 6, knowing this, Paul says, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. He's not necessarily talking about the fleshly body, although that can happen too, but you may have some fleshly ties and some fleshly attractions, soul ties that have to be dealt with. After baptism, that's the process of sanctification, but you are born again. You're never going to come to a place in your life where you're absolutely sin-free or sinless. That is a myth. You cannot accomplish that as a human being. There are sins of omission, as I spoke before, as well as sins of commission. And so you'll never come to a place where you're sinless or sin-free, and your thought life also contains sins. But as you are sanctified, as you work on those things in your life with the help of God, the help of the Holy Spirit, as you work on those things in your life, then you're sanctified, you're set aside. You're set aside to do God's work, which were ordained for you before the beginning of time, before you were born. Those works for the kingdom that were set aside for you, then they will start to be made manifest to you, and you can see what God has for you to do. You can see that plan that God has for your life, and you start to walk into that destiny. You start to walk into that calling, and you are no longer then, as Paul says, you are no longer a slave to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Well, amen. If you believe that, shout amen. I believe it. I'm walking with Christ to the best extent I have. There's many things yet that I want to do that God has shown me he wants me to do. And so as you get started in your walk, God will provide for you the strength, the counsel, and all of the things, provision. If you go into the ministry, he'll provide all those things for you. That is his will for you, to see you walk into your destiny and into that newness of life. Well, verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, and death no longer has dominion over you. You don't know what day you're going to exit this earth. You don't know what day is going to be your last day. But beloved, when you are walking with the Lord, you no longer have fear of death. You no longer are concerned about what day is your last day, because you know the moment that you close your eyes here on this earth and take your last breath, you will be escorted by the angels to heaven, and you will then also know the joy of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And you can actually also start to experience heaven while you're here on this earth. You don't have to wait until you die to start to experience heaven. You can experience the glory of God. You can experience that joy, that peace, all those things that come with a walk with the Lord. You can start to experience those things right here on this earth, because you're not weighed down with the fear of death. You're not weighed down with the guilt of your sin. And Christ Jesus, in verse 10, it says, Christ Jesus, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, beloved, this is a great place for you to be. It's a great place for me to be. If you've never been immersion baptized, I would recommend that you do that. Go and find somebody, an elder, a pastor, a deacon, somebody who is ahead of you in the church, over you in the church, and get baptized. Let that water wash over you to represent the washing of the blood of Jesus over your sin, and you will walk in newness of life. You will have a resurrected life, and you can stand before the Lord with a clean conscience. And better than that, you can start to dedicate your life and consecrate your life to a life lived for Christ Jesus, a life lived for your God, your Creator, and your life then can start to have works or accomplishments that bring glory to God through you and builds the kingdom of God here on this earth. Well, beloved, if you make a decision today, let me know at my email, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know, and I will rejoice with you. We'll get you some material to start you on your Christian walk. And if you want to have some prayer support, let me know your prayer requests. I can pray with you, and so we can help you get started in your Christian walk as you move forward in your walk with the Lord. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for the many years, and we thank the Lord for this day. And so if you would like to support this ministry, keep these radio broadcasts coming, keep the good projects going in Africa, the Crusades, the Children's Home, and all of the good projects we have going in Africa, we invite you to support us. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write out a check, let us know, or you can go to PayPal on my paypal.me, Gather the Outcasts, and pay with a credit card. And so stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.